Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Butte's proposed $150 million Superfund deal, the Montana Democratic Party's new platform, and one Whitefish student's graduation story. It's Tuesday, June 9th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Nine new cases of COVID-19 were reported in Montana between Saturday and Monday. The state reported one new case of COVID-19 on Saturday, five new cases on Sunday, and three new cases yesterday. Three were reported in Bighorn County, three in Gallatin County, two in Yellowstone County, and one in Stillwater County. After Bighorn County reported its first death, health officials announced new restrictions, including a requirement for businesses to take employee temperatures. Dine-in establishments in Bighorn County are now limited to 50% capacity. They can operate at 75% elsewhere in Montana. The Environmental Protection Agency yesterday announced that Butte's proposed $150 million Superfund deal was filed with a federal district court. Montana Public Radio's Nora Sachs has more on this big leap forward for the mine waste cleanup in the works for the mining city.
Butte's overarching Superfund settlement between the Environmental Protection Agency, the county, the state, and Atlantic Richfield was released in February. And in May, Butte Silver Bow voted to approve it. The deal, or consent decree, cleared another major procedural hurdle when it was lodged with the district court. Betsy Smittinger with EPA Region 8 says this means that after many years of tough negotiations and compromises, the parties are now
almost there. This is a huge step in the process.
The cleanup deal calls for removing mine waste from Butte's creek corridors, capturing and treating more dirty stormwater and groundwater, and building a 120-acre greenway. Once it's published in the Federal Register, the public will get 30 days to formally comment on the deal, which will then need final approval from the court. I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.
The U.S. Senate yesterday evening advanced a procedural motion to kick off consideration of a bill that, for the first time, would permanently and fully fund the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The Great American Outdoors Act would annually provide $900 million to fund the LWCF, which uses oil and gas revenue to fund conservation programs. The Outdoors Act would also separately address a maintenance backlog at national parks. Both Montana's senators, Republican Steve Daines and Democrat John Tester, support the measure. It also has the backing of President Donald Trump. Trump previously proposed cutting LWCF by about 97%, but later revised that position. In March, he credited Daines and Colorado Republican Senator Cory Gardner for helping change his mind. Daines and Gardner are both seeking re-election this year. The next vote on the bill is expected tomorrow. Things are shaping up for an above-normal fire season in the Northern Rockies forecast area. A meteorologist with the National Interagency Fire Center says the long-term weather outlook for July through September is a high probability for above-normal temperatures and below-normal precipitation. Michael Dagrovsky is the Fire Protection Bureau Chief for the Montana Department of Natural Resources and Conservation. He says he's already deployed resources strategically around the state to ensure a quick response to any fires. He says the goal is to douse any fires before they need additional resources that might require hundreds of firefighters to congregate while social distancing guidelines are in place to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. The Montana Democratic Party voted to approve a new platform Friday night that references nationwide turmoil over the death of George Floyd in police custody. Kevin Trevelyan reports most proposals received widespread support, except several tied to recreational marijuana.
Every 2 years, the party amends its existing platform, which already included positions supporting healthcare access and gender equality, among other things. After several hours of remote discussion on Friday, more than 120 Democrats voted on updates to individual planks comprising the party's new platform under categories like energy, public education, Senator Diane Sands of Missoula says shifts in this year's platform are fairly minor, although she identified several new positions related to policing. Party members approved new language supporting implicit bias training for officers and opposing unnecessary and dangerous use of force during arrests. Sands says the Montana Police Academy and some city departments already offer strong bias and conflict resolution training. As party members debated platform positions on Zoom, however, Sands asserted the timeliness of further criminal justice system review.
It certainly at least addresses the fact that we recognize what's going on nationally, and one piece of the action that's required, only one of them, is that law enforcement bias against people of color and others has to be addressed.
Most planks received near unanimous support Friday, but some party members were hung up on proposals supporting recreational marijuana legalization. That was the main debate topic during a Zoom session about the platform's crime and punishment plank. Members ultimately approved language supporting recreational cannabis use for people 21 and over, although 27% of platform convention attendees voted against the plank containing that idea. Here's Senator Sands again.
That's fine. In fact, if we don't have some disagreements, I think, then your platform isn't worth much because it's not reflecting where the edges of policy really are.
Count Representative Kathy Kelker of Billings among the no votes. She supports medical marijuana and decriminalization of recreational use, but is concerned about the latter's potential health impacts on young adults. Kelker says science hasn't fully examined how marijuana affects brain development in people up to age 26.
We just have not had very many studies on marijuana. Enough to know how safe it is.
Still, Kelker says she's open to considering recreational marijuana legalization pending more information. Activists in Montana are currently collecting signatures to place cannabis-related initiatives on the November election ballot. The state Democratic Party also selected delegates on Saturday. The Montana Republican Party will hold its delegate convention on Friday. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana is approving part of a plan to clean up groundwater contaminated by waste storage ponds at the Colstrip coal-fired power plant after receiving more than 400 comments on the cleanup proposal. The Department of Environmental Quality is conditionally approving plant operator Talon Montana's plan to expand an existing groundwater flush and capture system and drain two of the ponds used to store waste from Colstrip Units 1 and 2. Talon must submit more than $16 million as financial assurance. DEQ still needs to sign off on a plan to address the source of contamination, unlined ponds that have been leaking elevated levels of boron, chloride, and sulfate into groundwater since the 1970s. The agency is asking Talon to consider excavating the Stage 2 ponds. Talon previously proposed capping and closing them. DEQ has already approved cleanup plans for the plant site and the coal ash ponds for Units 3 and 4. Montana's high school graduates haven't had what you would call a traditional end to their senior year. But some schools were able to send their students off during in-person graduation ceremonies over the past 2 weeks. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has the story of one Whitefish student and what it meant to walk across the graduation stage.
When's the last time you were actually, like, in here?
Yesterday.
Oh, really?
We had graduation rehearsal, so we all met in the gym.
Graduating senior Casey Schneider is walking into the Whitefish High School, where he hasn't attended class since mid-March. Right when you enter, you walk into the cafeteria area, where Schneider says he got his first taste of what high school would be like.
And so here we were. I got my first look at all the departments, and I had no idea, like, the kind of connections I would make with people and the teachers here and how amazing they would be. And
as Schneider walks the empty halls, he talks about what it's been like since the school shifted to online classes in a matter of 2 weeks, as cases of COVID-19 were found in Montana, and in-person contact with his friends, classmates, and teachers was basically cut off.
So this is where I would go every every morning freshman year. So part of it is, you know, it sucks, and it still hit me. Like, originally, it wasn't that. I was like, whatever, you know, this is cool. I don't have to have school. But when you add on worries about family getting sick, and you add on, you know, worries about how college is going to work, and when you add on just, like, not being able to say goodbye to your teachers in a kind of traditional way and have a traditional senior year, it's a big loss for sure.
Originally, Schneider thought he would lose out on graduation too. He joked with his friends about hosting it virtually on an online video game, but as the state opened up following weeks of shutdown and social distancing orders, an in-person graduation ceremony became a real possibility. Schneider wanted to make his graduation ceremony, virtual or in-person, special.
But yeah, my friend Sam and I came in, and we're MCs because we're on student council, so we actually made a rap. We came in and filmed that, and that was really fun, and then, you know, we're introducing people and stuff like that, so.
Mrs. Barb Mansfield has been a great support for scholarships and guidance. She be holding down the fort. Hey!
G-R-I-T!
Coronavirus did us dirty! And we was thinking maybe...
Instead of playing a video, Schneider and his friend, donning neon-colored sunglasses, rapped for family and friends on stage at the Majestic Valley Arena. And what followed was a pretty normal graduation ceremony, with students sitting in evenly spaced folding chairs, no masks, and their families watching from the bleachers, as students and faculty delivered all the usual speeches.
The newest members of the Whitefish High School alumni, the class of 2020.
That's something Schneider says he's grateful for during a time when most people's lives have been turned upside down. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.